see our Father. Just repeat.
In the name of Jesus,
we receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. Today, as you see Jesus,
as you speak of
yourself, we learn and practice our role as a new creation. In our environment, by our society at large. There is no error in this
atmosphere.
No error in my mind.
There's no error in my mind.
I receive clarity today.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, from verses 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of every nation, says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we began looking at the teaching of the new creation and his relationship, right? How the believer should manage relationships.
Hallelujah.
Amen. How to manage relationships. Relationships in the workplace, relationships with fellow believers, relationships with spouse, for those who are married, relationships or who want to get married, relationships with employees, employers, you know, Christians, Muslims, atheists, how to manage relationships in general. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So, we said Matthew 28 will be Matthew's summary of what Jesus instructed them within the 40 days, right? And he said, and we said he focused it on raising disciples. He said, "Go therefore make disciples." Hallelujah. So the focus was on what? Raising disciples. Hallelujah. Raising disciples. They go therefore make disciples of every nation. Say, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Say, he who doesn't believe shall be... what am I saying? I'm reading Mark now. He said, "Therefore make disciples of every nation. Say, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded them, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So it says, go make disciples. I would say that word disciple is from the word that means how to make apprentice, right? How you teach people to become a scholar. How you enroll the child into a citadel of learning. So it says, go and make people. Hallelujah. Scholars. I want you to follow me today because we'll get into a point in our teaching today. So, that you don't need to miss. Mark 16. We look at Mark. Mark 16. Mark 16 from verse 15. And Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and make disciples of every nation." It says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who doesn't believe shall be dead. There are these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out demons. Then they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover." So we said Mark was focused on what? It says, look at that verse 16. It says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." He said, go preach the gospel. That's the word keruso. Preach to and now. Hallelujah. He said, when you tell, some people, I met people who have told me that they don't have gift for preaching. And it's crazy. It's a stupid talk to say. The word keruso is the word how you announce, something. In those days, look for how a campfire announces, right? Furthermore, you can call him. How many of you have tried to tell your friends about something? Have you watched? How many of you watched England versus Italy? You watched it? Somebody? I'm raising basketballers. I'm not football. Nobody watched it. You watch. I know nobody watched it. You watch. This guy is a son in the flesh. Hallelujah. You watch. You always try to know what the pastor is like and goes hopefully. And I don't know if it's not. Okay. So,
let's continue.
So, how many of you told somebody about how Italy won England?
even if you didn't watch it. Me, I didn't watch it, but I spoke about it. Okay, let me use another one.
How many of you spoke, told somebody about Oba? How many of you told somebody about Oba? Within the last past 2 weeks, you told somebody about Oba, you spoke about Oba. I don't know what is Oba. Oba is a Hebrew name for a place in Anambra. And you were laughing, you already heard about Oba, right? Mm-hmm. Right? You heard about Oba. Yeah. Did you say, tell somebody about it? This is performing. They are our country. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, how many of you have gisted with your friends before? You've gisted before. Let me do it. If you form, I'll throw you out of the gate. Okay, you gisted. Now, how hard was it for you to tell your friends something? Was it hard?
No, sir.
It just flowed, right?
Yes, sir.
It just, and the way it just flowed, in fact, even yourself can't even explain. Yes. The flow was just there. You say, you remember? Are you now flow, now this, too? You cannot matter how to marry for ladies, you'll be Salvador. You know, those kind of just flow, right? Now, that's the word. Preach, the way you talk about something and the way you do it effortless, right? That's how you should preach, because effortless. You can go start in a conversation with a friend and the next thing. I remember that was some years back. Somebody was talking to me and he said, he noticed it, but I didn't notice it. I'm serious, I didn't notice it. After the person told me, I now took cognizance of it, that the person told me years back that he discovered that whenever he's talking to me, gisting, my friend, he said, I must always say, I must always quote Bible. We are gisting normal gist, and I will just quote scripture. But like, must you quote scripture every time you are having a conversation? Like, that's the only thing. I told him that's the only thing I know. Hallelujah. Are you following me? That's like the only thing I know. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That's like the only thing I know. So I will gist about what I know. Are you following me? I'll gist about what I know. So I will talk about it. So you know, the same way you just effortlessly, you're talking to people, you just talk about the scriptures. Just talk about God, talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. So that's how it is. Say, go preach the gospel. He now says, he who believes and is so Mark's focus was on what? Preaching the gospel, which will be what? The entry point into being a disciple, right? Right? He said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He read Mark 19 and said, go make disciples, say, baptizing them. Now, I've done that construction for you. I said, it's not water baptism. Some people think without water baptism, you can't get to heaven. No, it's not water baptism. Jesus never told his disciples to go and do water baptism. No, it's not water baptism. He said, he who believes. So he's in believing. Hallelujah. So when a man believes, he's baptized. And Matthew says he's a disciple. So everybody who believes, who is born again, is a disciple of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So we looked at Mark. I mean, now, we went further to look at John. John 20. John and Luke are a bit more, they are more explanatory on what happened within the 40 days. So we're going to read them into themselves, so that you will understand what I'm talking about. Look at John 20. Are you in John 20? Quickly, let's be fast. We're going to be fast today, because we have a short time to accomplish it. John 20, 21. And Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain any, or if you retain, I mean that which you retain is retained, right? Hallelujah. So very important. He says, he came to them and John said he breathed on them. Now when you look at the word breathed on them, you might think Jesus just like this. No, what it is. That word breath in the Greek is a word that means enfusal. It means to quicken something from inside. So what John is writing is that John is using a figure of speech, and he says he breathed on them. That is, he quickened them from within. Hallelujah. So, what does it mean to quicken? What does it mean to breathe on? Did you see that? What does it mean to breathe on? And John will say it was after he did that that he then gave them the instruction. Whosoever sins you forgive is forgiven. So what is that? That when he says he quickened them or he breathed on them. So let's remove that word breath on them and put the word quicken, because the word breath there means to quicken from inside. The way you have air inside a balloon. Do you see that? So it's an internal work. Agree with the dog? That word puts out how you pump, how you have air in a balloon. So you see, the balloon is expanding. Right? Internally. So it's an internal work. So what John is saying that Jesus did an internal work on them and he gave them an instruction. So the question is, what is that internal work? Hallelujah. Luke helps us out. In Luke 24, from verse 25, and Jesus said to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe. You know, when Jesus calls you a fool, maybe you are a spiritual fool. Funny. Right? And he said, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. He said, offer up the Christ to suffer the things and enter into his glory. What did he do? He said, beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Meaning Jesus taught them. Did you see that? Now he taught them. From Moses, he says, from Moses and all the prophets, meaning from Genesis to Malachi, he just taught them. Now, verse 28, and when they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. So they had that conversation, you know, he taught them, right? Look at verse 32 or verse 31. It says, and their eyes were open. Were their eyes closed before? No. So what was happening to them? When he said their eyes was open, means they now understood, right? So not like their eyes were closed before and they now open. He was not talking about their eyes literally. Hallelujah. Meaning understanding has come. So what was Jesus doing? He was explaining scriptures to them. Hallelujah. So now understanding has come. Look at verse 32. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us? Where is the heart? Inside. Is that internal? He's not talking about physical heart in the chest. No, he's talking about the spirit, what was done internally. Are you following me? So this our heart born within us when he talked with us on the road and why he opened what? The scriptures to us. So it was the scripture that was spoken to them. Hallelujah. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So their understanding was open to get what the scripture is talking about, rather. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So and when that happened, what happened? They understood, right? So what was their conclusion? That he quickened them, right? These are hearts born within us, internal world. So when you get back to John, and John said he breathed on them. So that breathing of Paul was that what he quickened them from inside, which is what he taught them. What did he do to them? He taught them. Are you following? Look at verse 44. It says, and he said to them, he said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled were written in the law of Moses and all and the prophet and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding. Did you see? What did he do? He opened their understanding outside or inside? Inside. So he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Did you see that? So it is the teaching of the scripture that is called, that John called, he breathed on them. Are you following me? It's not that he was doing... No. Are you following me? He taught them. So in teaching them, the understanding was opened. So now, what that happened next, John now said, Jesus told them, say, whosoever sins you forgive is forgiven. Whosoever sins you forgive is forgiven. That, and we know that when it comes to forgiveness of sins is whose work? Is God's work. So that means Jesus is saying that he has made them to act as God. Or rather, God is working through them. Hallelujah. So the believer is a man who God works through.
Yes, sir.
In the earth. God forgives sins through the believer.
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
God forgives sins how?
Through the believer.
That's what he said. Hallelujah. Look at that Luke. Look at verse 47. It says, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins. Is that what is in your Bible? Or remission? They are the same. Hallelujah. Repentance and remission of sins or forgiveness of sins should be what?
Preached.
That is the same word keruso. The same word in Mark when he said, go into the world and preach the gospel. So that means the message of the gospel is a message of forgiveness of sins. Yes, hallelujah. So he says, whosoever sins will forgive is forgiven him. He is talking about preaching the gospel. Are you hearing me?
Yes,
so he says, when you go and preach the gospel, if a man believes, his sins are forgiven him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's proceed. So when a man receives the gospel, his sins are forgiven. So that is, God is acting through us. God is working through us to save man. Hallelujah. Say, God is working through me to save man. To forgive the sins of man. Hallelujah. So therefore, last week we said, the task in John and Luke is that we are to act in God's stead, or rather, God is walking through us. That's what we said. And God walking through us, is that the indwelling?
Yes, sir.
Is that the indwelling?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
How does he achieve it? Through the teaching of his word, right? Through the preaching of the gospel. Look at that. Luke 24, verse 25, okay, it says, verse 27, it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, that means, verse 44, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. Concerning me. Hallelujah. Concerning me. So, that means Jesus taught them for Moses. He says, beginning at Moses, Akei Mosaos. It means Jesus will teach from Genesis. From Moses. Genesis, Exodus. He taught them from Genesis down. Showing us, and we said this, Moses is not the prophet. So when he says beginning at Moses, we mean Moses is the beginning of writing in the scriptures. And his words will become, or Moses' vocabulary will be the vocabulary of scripture. Moses holds the vocabulary of scriptures. It is Moses and all the prophets. And all the prophets. So, we said a prophet will be known by what they said about Christ. So these are the words he says in verses 26, it says, up on the cry, sorry, 25, it's not about to believe in all the prophets have spoken. So the prophets will be known by what they said about Christ first. That is, a prophet will be known by his teaching. A prophet is a teacher. Hallelujah. A prophet is not known by miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. Always to note that. The prophet is not known by miracle signs and wonders first, no? Miracle signs and wonders are signs. You know he showed us last week, right? Did I say that to us last week? Miracle is called sign. How many of you have seen a signboard? And you stop at the signboard and say, this is where I'm going to. No, a signboard points you, right? Those of you who stay on base. You are going to Officer's Mess. And you get to M1. And you see that signage that says Officer's Mess. It points you. How many of you get to the signage and stop and say this is of sadness?
No, sir.
You'll be tagged not, right? Because a sign points you to a direction. So it's called miracle signs and wonders. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
So they are not the main thing. No. Hallelujah. And we saw that last week.
We're just going to see it again today.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So we said a prophet is first a what?
A teacher.
A prophet is first a what? A teacher. See, know it till you, when they wake you up, they know it. A prophet is first of all a what? A teacher of the word. You say, who's a prophet? A prophet man is just like, He does not teach. I know someone that said, see, I'm not a teacher. He was saying, he said he's a prophet. He said, me. He was referring to me that I am the teacher of the word, that he is a prophet. No. Hallelujah. We'll get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Who is then a prophet? Exodus chapter 7 verse 1. Exodus 7 verse 1. Who is a prophet? Exodus 7 1. Are you in Exodus 7? Glory to God. Exodus 7 verse 1. He says, so the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you God to Pharaoh. When he said, I have made you God to Pharaoh, he is not saying that Moses is not Jehovah Jireh. No. He's using what that word God is the word Elohim. Is used for a judge. I've made you a judge. Are you following me? To who? To Pharaoh. In answer, and Aaron your brother shall be your what? Shall be your what? Aaron shall be your who?
Prophet.
Let's see what Aaron's work will be. So I will know what the work of the prophet is. He says, you shall speak all that I've commanded you, and Aaron your brother shall tell to send the children of Israel out of this land. So that means the work of the prophet is the one who speaks to another. You see that? He's like a spokesman. Rightly put, he's an interpreter. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
Who is, because Moses has said to God, he said, I am, that he was a camel. So he can't talk to Pharaoh. God said, don't worry, Aaron, your brother, this is that, will talk on your behalf. So Aaron will now be the interpreter. Are you hearing me? Like you have an interpreter today. Glory to God. So who is, now let's put it in the right way. Who is a prophet? Come on. Who is a prophet? Talk. Who is a prophet? No. From what we just said, who is a prophet? Who speaks to another? Okay. And one who speaks to another is called who? An interpreter. So a prophet is a what?
An interpreter.
Is that what?
Interpreter.
Who is a teacher? I should have told us that before. A teacher is also an interpreter. So a prophet is a teacher. Are you following this?
Yes, sir.
Are you following this?
Yes, sir.
Aha. So what you cannot teach, we'll get there. What you cannot teach the scripture, I say, no, I want just to prophesy. You are not a prophet at all. A prophet is first a what? Teacher. Glory to God. Some people see, so they say, he's a prophet because he has power. What's that? A prophet because you are a teacher.
First.
Glory to God. Look at Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13. Moses then gave us how to know a prophet. He says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams. Now, the old King James, I love how the old King James will say, and a diviner of dreams. This is that somebody who tells dreams. And gives you a sign or a wonder. No, that is what we call prophet. So Moses is about to correct something. He says, and gives you a sign or a wonder. Verse 2. And the signs or wonders come to pass. Now listen to it. He said the sign and wonder came to pass. You know, when somebody gives you, for example, today, give you a prophecy, and he comes by and says, man of God, right? Speak good at the Lord, man of God. But let me tell you what I told him about my pastor. I said, the prophet says, he don't kick. He don't kick. Hallelujah. So we were having a conversation. I will bring into that conversation. Hallelujah. But you will laugh when you hear the conversation. Hallelujah. So we are like, man of God. Man of God. Glory to God. That's what we call prophet. Even in school, when somebody gives a prophecy there in school,
Emoji.
And you know the way we look, even men, this is what you call it differently. You only call emoji.
Emoji.
Emoji. Amen. I told them how I got into a compound one night, like that in Enugu. I came to see someone. So, and I was about to sleep. I said, no.
Years back, this was around 2009. So 2009, Francesco took to the compound. I was about to sleep. I just woke up and said, they should call everybody within the compound outside. You know, people came out. It was late in the night. People were tired. In the night. It was a rented apartment. So I called all the tenants. I have given the person I came to, I have given the person some, let me use the word, given some lamba. Not what you call lamba to do. What you call lamba? Okay, lamba is a lie to me, but that one is not a lie. I said to the person, hey, something is about to happen tonight. Everybody must come out. They came out. So you know, people were like, people were quiet and they were, you know, people were tired, they want to sleep. I know what I did. I just walked up to someone, a lady. I just said, "In the name of Jesus, ow, ow!" And I laid hands on her. She down, fell on the floor. I'm now. We have to say, "Out now!" So everybody, all the sleep, we run away. Everyone else. I said, "Let's sing." Oh, now let's sing it. Pa 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 pa. You know those kind of clap. Pa 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 pa. All through the night. The next morning, when I was asleep, all the compound follow me out. Man of God.
Nonsense.
And everyone follow me out. Carry my thing. So anytime I call, they say, ah. Emoji, emoji, emoji. You know? Hallelujah. So, that sister, let me use what we used to do in school that day. That year, we'll probably give the best of prophecy. And we'll call it, we're testing the mic. So that is how I was to test the mic for others to come. No, those things are not right. Hallelujah. That doesn't make the person a prophet. Are you seeing that? Moses is saying, a man gives a prophecy or gives a word, tells you something, and it comes to pass, right? So he didn't say he didn't call, he said it came to pass. Look at what he said in there. He says, of which he now said to you, let's go to another God, to other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. He said, you shall not listen to his words. Did you see that? So, meaning, in as much as the prophecy came to pass, or what he said to me came to pass, does not mean, right? He's telling you what you should look out for is, what does he teach? He said, and he said to you, let's follow other gods. That is, he's teaching you strange things. He said, you shall not listen to him. Even if what he said or the dream came to pass. Are you following that? Are you following that? So, then what now makes him a prophet? What he said afterwards. Did you see that? So what makes him a prophet or not a prophet is what you say, what you teach. Are you following me? Come on then. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Not the miracles, but what you teach. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
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 So it becomes falsehood to say a prophet aren't teachers, or to say prophets aren't teachers. It's wrong to say prophets are not teachers, because a prophet is a special teacher. In fact, in Ephesians 4, what's true to Ephesians 4? I hope you are following me. Ephesians 4. Look at verse 11. It says, and he himself, which is himself, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, say some pastors, teachers. He said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Look at that. Is prophet there? It says, for what? It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Next, it says, see, we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge. Did you see knowledge there?
Yes, sir.
So when you see knowledge, does it mean, does it imply teaching?
Yes, sir.
Does it imply teaching?
Yes, sir.
So see, we offer. So the reason for the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, it says for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, we all come. So that means, I will put it like, I said the reason for the prophets, evangelists, I mean prophets,
apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, it's for teaching, right? Can you see that there? It's for teaching. Glory to God. In fact, remember what you have in, for those of you who were around when we taught pneumaticals 2, we said when it says prophets, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, we're not referring, he was, it's more of a function. Are you following me? It's a function, not individuals. Ministry is a function. Hallelujah. Ministry is a function. So individuals that work in those functions are called ministry gifts. Are you following me? So ministry is a function. Hallelujah. So it's a function, and a function that will be found in the local church also. Hallelujah. We'll get to see that as we go further into pneumaticals in the course of the year. Hallelujah. We'll get to look at where Jesus, there's a pattern already that we are following. Hallelujah. So we'll get there. Hallelujah. Upper follow is a function. Don't see it as this person in our church must have a prophet, must have an apostle. No, it's a function. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who does Paul call prophet? In 1 Corinthians. So the one who gives a tongue and interprets is called a prophet. Do you see that? He gives a tongue and interprets is called a prophet. So, do you give a tongue? Do you interpret? Are you a prophet? Yes. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Do you have prophet, apostle, Mr. Johnson, John, in your name? No. But do you function as a prophet when you give a tongue and interpret? Yes. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let's go.
Just example. And another one is the word apostle. He's an apostle. Why? Because you to wear long chains. No. You are wrong. Right? What the word apostle is on the word apostolos. One who is sent. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One who is sent. Glory to God. So who is sent? Can you see? I'm not giving an answer today because the teacher will teach. Who is sent? Is that person an apostle? So that person need to have apostles in his name? No. What? Because he sent is called an apostle. Are you following me? Timothy was called an apostle. Why? Because he was sent. Sent by who? He was sent by Paul to a church. Glory to God. And he was called an apostle. Why were the 12 called apostles? Look at scripture. They were sent. Where do you find them? Sent. Matthew 10. Jesus sent them out. So based on that sending, in Matthew 10, they are called apostles. Are you following that? Are you following that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you now begin to see that it's more of a function than an individual. And where will you find this function? In the local church. So what Paul is saying is that you will find in the local church these functions, and this function is for the perfecting of the saints. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So you will find it in the local church. Hallelujah. You find it in the local church. Because they found it in the local church. The ministry, non-ministry is found outside the local church. It is found in the local church. And it is found in the local church so that the local church will watch their works. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no ministry gift, or there is no ministry to watch other people's work. It is for you to watch your work. Hallelujah. And that is why Paul writes it that way. He writes to the church. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
There's no ministry gift like my role in the body of Christ. You don't have a role in the body of Christ. And no, it's in your local church. Are you following me? You find that role in your local church. The moment I leave St. Pavilion Church today, and I walk into a Redeemed Christian Church of God, I am called Brosmas. My role as a pastor will be found where? St. Pavilion Church. Remember, I leave St. Pavilion Church, I am what? And I go to St. Community Church, I am called what? Though it's St. There is St. in the two names. Since I'm in St. Community Church, I am what? I am Brosmas. I don't carry pastor on my head. I will be called a pastor there because of my work here. Are you following me? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Paul never went to Peter's church and said, no! Did you get that? When Peter was to write concerning Paul, did he call Apostle Paul? He said what? Bro Paul. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You must understand that role clearly. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, to show you how critical this is, Jesus will instruct that discipleship will be carried out where? In the local church. So that means I'm born again into a local church. Matthew 28. You see that? It says, teaching them. Where would they be taught? In the local church. So the local church becomes God's unifier, God's ground of training. Are you following me? For his children. Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So that means, since discipleship will be carried out in the local church, and it tells us how it will be carried out, teaching. So that means proper interpretation of the scriptures is what is needed in discipleship. To take that away from discipleship is to miss Jesus' instruction. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So let's look at something. We began looking at that Matthew 20 verse, Matthew 28 verses 20. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So we started looking at what he has commanded them concerning the resurrection. And we said, in the resurrection, meaning when a man gets born again, he's united with God forever. Did we say that?
Yes, sir.
Right? Colossians 1:13. It says, he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. So that means he has delivered us from the power of darkness, kingdom of darkness, to light. Hallelujah. He has delivered us. So that means salvation is deliverance. When a man is saved, he has been delivered. Sir, can a man now get delivered after he's saved? No. Once a man is saved, he's delivered. He is what? He's delivered. Let me tell you that deliverance. Are you hearing me? Say no. Now that you have been saved, you now come for deliverance service. Sure, okay. What is guiding you? Are you the one guiding the Bible? Or Bible is guiding you? Hallelujah. You are guided with scriptures. Hallelujah. So he said, we are delivered. Once and for all. Once and for all. Once a man is saved, he's delivered. So what about one that will say, they are delivering someone and shouting out and demon is coming out, demon is talking. Am I the one? Did you see me dreaming? Some person like Jesus, he will have answers to what he or she is doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We're not taught like that in scriptures. That the child of God needs deliverance. How? So when you see someone who is not born again and is only I need deliverance, what do you think that person is? You see, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is. He's not he will be. He's not he was. He is a new creation. So when you hear new creation, does it imply new location? Come on now. Right? He's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So we are delivered from the kingdom of darkness to light. Hallelujah. So we are delivered once to light. And that light is called the Spirit. Right? The light is called the Spirit. John 8 verse 12. John 8 verse 12 is called the Spirit. It's called the Spirit. So we can say we are in the light, right? Right? We are in the light, right? The glory of God. Look at John 8, 12. So you understand now, and then you can say you are in the light. John 8, 12. Come on. Verse 12. He says, then Jesus spoke and said to them again, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So if a man is saved, he has light, right? Right? So he's born into light, right? Right? Can we say that light is the Spirit? We say so. So can we say a man who is born again is born into the Spirit? He's born into the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, from verses 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. Say, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set them free from the set me free from the law of sin and death. He said, for what the law couldn't do in that it was weak through the flesh, he caught it by selling his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life, because the carnal mind cannot please God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor neither can they say. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. Hallelujah. Say, I am not in the flesh.
I am not in the flesh.
Say, I am not in the flesh.
I am not in the flesh.
It says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Did you see that? Say, I'm in the Spirit.
I'm in the Spirit.
I'm in the Spirit.
I'm in the Spirit.
So the man born again is in the Spirit. And we saw that last week. To be in the Spirit means you are born into God's family. John 14. He says, in my Father's house. Are you there? John 14, verses 2. John 14, 2. He says, in my Father's house. Now we looked at that word house. House there means what? Oikia. In my Father's family. That's the word house. It's not what? Not big. Some people have that notion that when they say, my Father has a many mansions. They are thinking of the fact that one day when they die, what you live, the way you live your life on earth to me, how your temple will be in heaven. I wonder how some people's own will be like. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So glory to God. I wonder how some people will be like. Some people will be messy. Glory to God. It's very messy. I didn't call anybody today. I'm not inciting anybody. Hallelujah. They said it. Yeah. And then my mom told me. Years back, I was too small. Because when you live your life on the earth, to tell how your house, your mansion in heaven will be like. So some people will be cobblers when they get to heaven. I wonder whose shoes they will be wearing. Hallelujah. I wonder whose shoes they will be wearing. Maybe abandoned, you know. Hallelujah. I wonder whose shoes you find in heaven. So, or, and I said, some people will have houses without roof. And my head goes immediately to sleep. So that means they will see Dangote in heaven. They will have Lafayette cement in heaven. So as I'm doing the things I'm doing here on earth, angels are doing football in heaven. No. Hallelujah. No. Don't be silly that way. Hallelujah. Don't be silly. So when it says in my Father's house, that word house is the word man, is the word oikia. The word is for family. In my Father's family, household. He said there are many mansions. Imagine, he said in my Father's house are mansions. So Do you have mansions in the house? You that went to school, and there's no waste of school fees on your head. Do you have mansions inside house, or you have house inside mansion? Can you see? So you can't have mansions inside house. So that means in writing the figure of speech. Hallelujah. Say, in my father's family there are many mansions. That word mansion is the word used for dwelling places. So in my father's family there are many dwelling places. He says, I go and prepare a place. That word to prepare is the word hectomizo. It means an internal work. Hallelujah. To prepare is an internal work. It's not cement. No, it's how you create space. You know, inside there we don't create space for you. We create space. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, and we saw that where what that means is when he says I go, it means I'm coming. Right? We saw that last week. I go will mean I come. So, what does he now call the dwelling place? If we get to John 14:23, he answers, and Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will be loved. He will keep my word, and my father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. That word home is the same word mansion. So the mansion is about what the Spirit of God in a man. That's the mansion. The Spirit of God where in a man. So he says, that is the mansion. So that means when the Spirit of God lives in a man, that man is automatically in God's family. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So that man is automatically in God's family. So we can say we are in God's family. Say, I'm in God's family. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Why? Because of the Spirit of God. Once you tell the new creation reality.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm teaching the new creation reality? Say, I'm in God's family.
I'm in God's family.
You see it very well. I'm in God's family. God is my Father. Did you get that? You can say with boldness. I'm in God's family.
I'm in God's family.
Hallelujah. If that is hard for you to say, can you say this also? Say, I'm in God's family. Say,
I'm in God's family.
Say, I'm in a relationship with God.
I'm in a relationship with God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Some people are scared to say that.
I
say, I'm in a relationship with God.
I'm in a relationship with God.
You say it bold. You say it to yourself. Not just in church. Hallelujah. You're at home. You say, I'm in God's family.
I'm in God's family.
So you say, make bold to say it. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I'm in God's family.
I'm in God's family.
I make bold to say, I'm in God's family.
I'm in a relationship with God.
Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I don't know anybody has one of the relationships that they say, I'm not single. Who are you in a relationship? I'm in a relationship with God. I'm in a relationship with God. Say, I am in a relationship,
With God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen. And in that relationship, before we get there, so what this implies is that from Genesis, what Moses was writing about to them was concerning God's family. God's family. Or rightly put, God's fatherhood, God's relationship, God's fatherhood. E.W. Kenyon, a man I respect, he will say this in his book, New Creation Realities. He will say the reason for creation is because God was in need of his family, or was in need of a family. Hallelujah. So Genesis 1:1. When I get to Genesis 1:1, I say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Is that family? Is that God's family?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
What happens in God's family? He lives in us. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
What happens in God's family? He lives in us. That's God's family. He lives in us. Glory, hallelujah.
Yes,
in Genesis, did I say John 1:1? Genesis 1:1, right? In Genesis 1:26, when it says, let us make man in our image. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea. Is that family? Is that family?
Yes, sir.
That's family. And God created man in his image. In his image created he, male and female created he them. Is that family? Is that family? Then when he now says, and he gave them power, he says, look at verse 27 of Genesis 1. Genesis 1 to 27 fast. It says, and God created man in his own image, in the image of God created. Okay, verse 28, and God blessed them, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, refill the earth, or say, replenish the earth, subdue it and have dominion. Would that be God's family? So when he said, make man in our own image, remember I've told you that was not Adam. That is not Adam. Adam was not created in God's image. That's not Adam. But let's make man in our image, talking about the new birth. Who is the image of God? The image of God is not Adam. No. Hallelujah. Yes. Have you heard? Imagine you hear someone who is not born again singing, I am a beautiful image, I am a wonderful image. You're looking for the image here. You understand? Who is the image of God? Christ is the image of God. So when you say, let's make man in our image, mean let's make man in Christ. Are you hearing me? Let's make man in ourselves. So God is speaking ahead of time of what Jesus will do. Hallelujah. They're speaking ahead of time. I said, let's make man in our image. So, quickly. So, that means God was canvassing his family. Can you say that? God was canvassing his family, or concerning his family, right? And when he said, and he created them, he was talking about what will happen in the future of Adam. Glory to God. So, get the message we have on that. What message is that? Understanding the gospel, right? Understanding the gospel series 3, 2 into 3. We have those things taught and discussed there. So make sure you get that message fast. Hallelujah. So would that also be, when I now get to Matthew 28, I say, go make disciples of every nation. Would that be God's family too? That would be God's family. Because the disciple will be the man who is saved. And when the man is saved, he has the Spirit of God, is in God's family. So he says, go make disciples. Would that be God's family too? God has given you the power to this family. Are you following me? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And in that family, Jesus introduced God to us as the Father. As the Father. I wanted to run everywhere we find God used as Father. And I discovered that we have in just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. For John alone, we have the word Father used 105 times for God. 105 times for God in John alone. Jesus called God Father. He didn't call him a little man. He didn't call him a man. He called him Father. Are you following? He didn't even call him, in fact, this will shock a lot of people, but I said it in teaching on the revelation of God. He didn't call him the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't. Hallelujah. He called him Father. Are you following? Neither does this mean that the word God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is wrong. To be called for him, but he didn't call him that. He called him. So, but that is still who he has introduced him to us as Father. Hallelujah. In John 14, look at how the word Father is. John 14, verse 2. Let's run that commentary on John 14 again. Verse 2 says, in my Father's house. Did you see that? Verse 1, I said, believe God. Did you see that? Believe in God. Believe in me also. I said, in my Father's house, John 2. I mean, John 14, 2. In my Father's house, I mean in mansion, Father's house. Verse 6, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the
Father
except through me. Are you following me? Verse 7, if you have known me, you would have known my
Father.
Are you seeing that? Verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you this long and you have not known me, Philip? You who have seen me has seen the Are you following that? Verse 10, do not believe, I mean,
Do you not believe that I am in thee and the Father is in? Did you see that? The word I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the who dwells in me does the work. Just in verse 10 alone, how we will find out his stripes. Verse 11. They believe me that I am in thee and they in me, or let believe me for the sake of the works themselves. 11. I mean verse 12. Notice what I said to you. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do, and greater works than this, because I go to my 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the may be glorified in his son. Verse 16. And I will pray, and he will give you another comforter. 20. And in that day you know I am in my
Father,
and you in
me,
and I in
you.
Are you seeing this?
21. He said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me and will be loved by my
Father.
Are you following this? 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my
Father
will love him, and will come and make our home with him. 24. He said, he who does not love me does not love my word, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the
Father
who has sent me. Verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the
Father,
did you see that? Whom the Father will send in my name. Hallelujah. 28. You have heard me say, you have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. So the coming back to you is the resurrection, right?
Yes, sir.
Coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice. I said, I'm going to the
Father,
and my Father is greater than I am. Than I. Do you see that? 31. That the world may know that I love the
Father,
and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let's go from.
Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
He used the word Father consistently for God. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus is God.
Yes, sir.
Jesus is God.
Yes.
But take note, Jesus never called himself the Father. It's something I'm going to teach us soon. And I remember that I mentioned it on Revelation of God, but I'm yet going to talk about it. Hallelujah.
Jesus is God. Right?
He's God, but he said he never introduced himself to us as the Father. Hallelujah. Rather, he's in union with the Father. He showed us that. Right? He says, I am the way. No one gets to the Father except through me. He said, my Father is in me. Say, I am in my Father. You see that union, right? You know, Moses will call it, he says, that will be Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 6. He will say, Yeho Israel, he said, the Lord your God is one, is Ikar. That word Ikar is used for union. The Lord your God is in union. That means it brings in the personality of God as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. It brings in that personality. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Trinity. Are you following me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And I gave us a simple analogy. Imagine you yourself. Does God live in you?
Yes, sir.
Does God live in you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me step it down a bit. Does Jesus live in you?
Yes, sir.
Jesus lives in you, right? Are you Jesus? But you are in union with him. But can you say you are Jesus? No. Are you following me? You are not Jesus. So that is how you see it too. The Lord your God is a car. He's in union. Glory to God. So it's something we'll yet teach in the years to come. Hallelujah. So calm down, pipe me. Hallelujah. Years to come. The journey is too far. Amen. Glory to God. So, look at John 20. John 20. The wisdom of the word Father. John 20, 17. Jesus, after he has arisen, remember, he said, I will
come to you, right? Right? Verse 20, verse 17. So Jesus said to her, do not cling to me. I'll read it like the original Greek. It says, do not cling to me any further. Therefore, I have not yet ascended to my Father. Did you see that? But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your
Father.
And to my God and your
God.
Did you see that? Hallelujah. When he said, I ascend to my Father. He's not talking about going through the skies. No. He says, I ascend to my Father. He's talking about the indwelling. Hallelujah. So he tells Mary, he says, you know, sometimes people have heard a respected man of God that I respect so well. He says that word. So when Jesus resurrected like this, resurrected. When Mary wanted to talk, he said, don't touch me! Jesus said to Mary, don't touch me, not to scatter our redemption plan. No. Hate all. Have faith. Hallelujah. No. Hallelujah. So if somebody touched him, all the redemption plan, I know now. I calm down. Hallelujah. No. When that means the way the Greek
put it is that Jesus resurrected, and when Mary saw him, Mary quickly held on to him, shouted out, "Boni!" and gripped the hole and hugged him. I said to her, like you say, okay, don't do. Hallelujah. I said, don't cling to me anymore. Do you get it? He says, I have not yet ascended to my Father. That is, you're not talking to her about the indwelling. Say, but go tell my brethren, I ascend to my Father and your Father. What you should pick out there is the fact that he calls, because of what he has done in redemption, he calls the Father. This is the first time. I get, maybe would have said, what did you say? He said, my God and your God. This is the first time I hear this from him. He says, my Father and your Father.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
My Father and your Father. Because of what he has done in redemption. So he has seen ahead and said, this one will be saved. So my Father and your Father. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. So in redemption, God is our Father.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God is our Father. And this is why the epistles, because of what Jesus has done, because of where we've been born into, the epistles will now call us sons. In the epistles, go to the epistles, we are referred to as sons. 1 John 3 verse 2. 1 John 3 2. Come on, let's look at it. Are you 1 John 3? Verse 2. It says, let's read together. 1, 2, go. Are we there? Are you 1 John? Chapter 3, verse 2. Now let's read together. Go. Come on. Can't you read? 1, 2, go. Let's take it again. Want to go, everybody, now? Okay. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. That word now is a present continuous tense. Hallelujah. I put it that it's a present now continuous tense. Is that whatever it is? Let me see. Hallelujah. The present now. He said, now are we the sons of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are the sons of God. When you wake up next year, is it that part has not changed? Now are we the sons of God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
say, I am
the
son of God.
The son of God.
Say, I'm a daughter of God. You're always calling son. Can't you have daughters of audacity? Come on here. Let's look at it again. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So we are sons now.
Yes, sir.
We are sons tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
We are sons forever.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Look at that Romans 8 where we read. We just take it off from verses 9. I mean, we read verse 9. Look at verse 10. Romans 8,
Verse 10, it says, if Christ be in you, say the body is dead because of sin, say the spirit is alive because of righteousness. And it says, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, say that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. By the spirit dwells in you. Say, therefore, brethren, say we are not debtors, not to the flesh. He said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to work to death the things of the flesh, of the body, you shall live. Say as many, as are led by the Spirit of God. He said, are the sons of God. That word led is the word ago. It means to be born. Hallelujah. To be born from. To come from. How to do with the living of the Spirit. Now he's referring, now he has to do with the living of the Spirit, the new birth. So as many as are born of the Spirit, say they are the sons of God. That word sons is the word kios in the Greek. Kios. Or, yeah, hios. Or hoios. Any of the two, they are the same. Hios. That word hios is a word used for sons, right? One who carries out his father's legacy. Used for a son with an inheritance. One who carries out his father's legacy is used for a son with an inheritance. It's from the Hebrew word ben. Not benten, but ben. Hallelujah. Ben, D-E-N. The way you spell Benjamin. Ben. Now let's see how the word ben is used in the Old Testament book. Something you just need to see quickly. Genesis 22 verse 2. Genesis 22 verse 2. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Genesis 22. Verse 2. It says, and he said, take now your sons. God is speaking to Abraham. I say, Abraham should take now his who? What does he call that son? He says, your only son, Isaac. Your only son, Isaac. Your only son. He was Isaac, his only son. He had Ishmael. But God said, take your only son, Isaac. Remember, that word only son is the word you now find in John as what used for Jesus as the only begotten son. John 1:14. Did you see that? Only begotten son. That is the word reserved for Christ. But quickly, something you need to see here, absolutely, that you shouldn't lose sight of. He says, take your only son. So, listen, I have something in my notes. It says, Isaac is called only son, but Abraham had Ishmael. To make you see that son, though is used for natural child, but also used for one who carries out his father's legacy. This is that. Isaac is now called son. Why? Because Isaac carries out his father's legacy. Carries out Abraham. What is Abraham's legacy? Abraham is a prophet. So Isaac carries out. You understand me? He takes on from Abraham. So Isaac is called Abraham's son. You understand me? Isaac is called Abraham's son because Isaac too now become a prophet. So it is like this. So you, Moses went for you to see the first child, which is Ishmael, born of the flesh. Did you see that? It makes you see Ishmael, born of the flesh. How is he born of the flesh? Abraham and Hagar, right? Man's will. Whereas there was a promise. I don't want to do this, but get the message on the on which one again? The parable of the seed. I said it there. I said, so there is a promise, right? Of Abraham having a son. First of all, there was a promise. Then Abraham walked in the flesh, right? Right? Come on here. He walked in the flesh. So the son from the flesh came first, right? Became the first. And then there is the spirit, which is Isaac. So Moses write that specifically for you to see that it is not son by the flesh, or it's not son. Now remember, he's writing about the seed. If you read from Genesis 1, he writes about the seed. It's the seed you have to look at. Then gets to Abraham, he calls son. Genesis, he calls son. He's talking about the seed. So it is not going to be by the flesh. There is the promise of the seed, the promise of the Son. But it's not going to be the flesh, but it will be the Spirit. So the Spirit will come afterwards too, because man has yielded to the flesh. But it is the Spirit that will be called Son. That is that which is of the Spirit that will be called Son, not that which is of the flesh. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's not a choice. So Abraham, so Isaac will be called Son because of what Isaac will carry on from where Abraham has stopped. What Abraham is doing. Right? The promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So for you to now see that that function is not a function of God's choice. You know, if you read only Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael, you think it's God that chooses. So, because it didn't make us see, Moses didn't make us see whether at any point, whether Ishmael rejected or not. But Ishmael living with his mother was a sign of rejection. Do you understand me? And Abraham going to Mount Moriah with Isaac. You know, Isaac, that means he was teaching him. Listen, we went to Mount Moriah to worship the Lord, right? They went to worship. It was a teaching section. That means it shows you that Isaac believed. Hallelujah. But for you to now see it clearly, it now shows you Isaac too now had two children. Esau and who? Jacob. Esau is the first, Jacob is the second. But it now shows that Esau was a profane man. And what did Esau do? Esau rejected the birthright. You see that? Hallelujah. The right of the firstborn. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And what did Jacob do? Jacob accepted. So it will be Jacob and not Esau. Esau is firstborn, but who was rejected? Esau. Why? Because the Bible calls him in Hebrews a profane man. That is when he called profane man, one who says things that would, he says, he talks anyhow concerning the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. He talks down things of the Spirit, he talks anyhow. He has no control by his mouth. So he rejected the birthright. So it will be who? Jacob, not who? So, to make you see that it's not by natural birth. That's what Moses is trying to write. That the seed will not come from natural thinking. So the seed will not be the first son. No. Hallelujah. Neither is it second son. But it's ready for you to see that it's going to be what? By belief. Do you understand me? Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you are still thinking, okay, it might be two children, now shows you Jacob. Jacob now had 12 sons, right? 12 children. And when you are thinking it was going to be Reuben, it was not Reuben, it was Joseph. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what was the legacy that they were carrying around? Abraham in Genesis 20 was a prophet. Genesis 27. Isaac too was. Hallelujah. Jacob, you don't need to ask questions. Hallelujah. Amen. And Joseph. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Are you following that?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So these are things that you must see clearly. So the concept of son in scripture was not the concept of son that Moses makes us see in scriptures will come by whom? By what? It will come by believing. It will come by accepting the message of God's salvation. That's what Moses has written for you to see. Something I missed, I didn't say, is about when I spoke about God is our Father. And I said if you read through Moses, you'll see that God is called Father, right? His role was family, and that family is the Father. Look at Abraham. Abraham, God gave Abraham his name. You know the meaning of the word name Abraham? It means father of many nations. You're not telling Abraham to change his name so that Abraham will have many children. No. If that's how you have been seeing it, you are wrong. You know all those faith movement guys, you say, the problem why you are still here is because you've not changed your name. I can say I got a minister like that before. What is your name? I remember one of my friends, we attended one meeting together. After we were done preaching, after the guy was done preaching, the guy said, I was in just two. The guy was like, he wants to change his name. I wouldn't call him. They say he wants to change his name because his name is related to Amadioha. I say, interesting. And when they ask me, boy, what about my own name? My own name is Ozomapi. Say, don't you think there's some spiritual things in that name? I thought about the fact that if I try it, my father will kill me. I said, no. You don't know of Ozo. Ozo is a title. I'm a title man. I just use him, yeah? You got the man called, if you don't want to change your name, come out. He ran out. Me, I don't come out. Imagine I came out and my father is just there looking at me. Okay, this is going to come at me. Hallelujah. Change which name, Babu. Glory to God. I guess I've taught us that name for revelation is not stopped in the Old Testament, right? Right? Okay, so. Like, you don't miss those things, God. Hallelujah. He said, God has to change the name. Some people now make the mistake that even when God called Saul, he knows that the name Saul. When you look at the word Saul, your mind will go back to kings. The king called Saul. How we mess up. So God changed his name from Saul to Paul. But God, conquer yourself. Saul is Hebrew name for Paul. Paul is Greek name. One is Roman, one is Greek. So, don't mix it up. I mean, Saul is Hebrew. Paul is either Greek or Roman. Hallelujah. So don't mix it up. It's the same thing. So you have to change your name. What is your name? Your name looks like shrine. And you say, oh, maybe that's why I'm not going forward. Your problem is your brain. The people that their names are Victor, they've been victorious. Oh, so sorry. I forgot. I didn't even think about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, it's not by your name. Glory to God. The God wanted Abraham has no child. So God wanted to give Abraham a child and say, Abraham, if I give you a child, your name Abraham will not take you there. When he says Abraham, God it's in his own, that name Abraham is a teaching. Hallelujah. It's doctrine. It's Abraham means father of many nations. So God gives Abraham his name to make him see that he is the father of many nations. If you find that's contained in the promise. Hallelujah. So what does it tell him in the promise? Say, your descendants shall be as like the what? Seashore. Say, if you are able to number the stars, say, so shall thy seed be. He's talking about what will happen in the redemption. Hallelujah. Are you following me?
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hope you are following me.
Yes.
Hope you are following. Abraham, the word Abraham means father. Father. That's not Abraham. Not father of one. Abraham. I mean, Abraham means father. So when I say Abraham, father of nations, is that not redemption? Is that not redemption?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's redemption. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I said I skipped that. I've gotten there before now.
Amen.
Amen. Let's do the round off. In Exodus 4:22. Let's begin to close now. Exodus 4:22. Look at what God says. Verse 22. He says, thus shall you say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. Israel is my what? Son. He calls a nation son. Does that nation have male and female?
No, sir.
Yes. So, the nation has male and female, and he calls the whole nation son. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. So, he calls the nation of Israel son, based on the what? The treaty he has with what? Abraham, right?
Yes,
come on here. Your descendant, your son, right? So, he calls the whole nation son. To make you see that the word son is not used for a male child.
Yes, sir.
It's not the word reserved for a male child alone. Don't read your today's grammar into scriptures. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah. So who is called son? A whole nation, male and female, is called son. Are you following me?
Yes,
male and female is called son. So, when you now read and said, in Christ we are all sons, does it include male and female? Yes. He said, now we're the sons of God. So some feminists now say, now we're the daughters of God. Sure, well, alright. It's because you are not understanding. Hallelujah. Hey, glory to God. When he says sons, it's both male and female. So, you can see a sister can stand and say, I am the son of God. I am a son of God. And you're like, no, I am a son of God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
God told us that in Christ there's neither male nor female,
yes, sir.
Born nor free,
yes.
Rich or poor.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. We are all in him sons. Hallelujah.
God.
We are all sons. Say, I'm a son.
I'm a son.
I'm a son.
I'm a son.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
The same way I'm a king. I'm a queen. No, I'm a king. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
See, I'm a king.
I'm a king.
I'm a son.
I'm a son.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
In that Romans 8:16. Why do you say you are sons? We yet going to see it as we close. Why are you sons? Romans 8 verse 16. As soon as I led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, by whom you cry, Abba, Father. Now what Abba, Father is tautology. Abba actually means Father. Hallelujah. Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Yes. See, the Spirit bears with us that see that we are the sons of God. When you hear the word adoption, He has sent for the Spirit in our heart crying, but you have received the Spirit of adoption of sons. Now that word adoption of sons is the word euthesia, in the Greek. Euthesia is the word used to be placed as sons. It's to be seen as sons. Hallelujah. So in Christ, because of the Spirit of God, we are seen as sons.
Yes,
look at Galatians 4 verse 5 into 6. Galatians chapter 4 from verse 5 into 6. Oh, glory to God. Galatians 4, 5 into 6. I'll start from verse 4. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth the Son. Send forth his son Christ, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive, the adoption as sons. Did you see that? We have received the adoption as sons. That is, we have received. No, when you look at adoption today, now today's language, it means to go to orphanage. No, that's not what it's talking about. The word adoption of sons in scripture means to be placed as sons, to be seen, to be called. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Let's hit this now. Verses 5. Are you there? It says to redeem those who are that might say that those sons are sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of the son into your heart, crying out, Abba Father. So why are we called sons? Because of the Spirit of God in our hearts. Hallelujah. So the
Spirit of God
is in me. Remember we said the Spirit of God lives in us forever, right? It's an undeniable truth about the believer. The Spirit of God lives in us forever. Go online, go to our website, download that message. Undeniable truth about the believer. Hallelujah. Listen to it all through this week. Undeniable truth about the believer. The Spirit of God lives in me forever. Say, the Spirit of God lives in me forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If the Spirit of God lives in you forever, then what is the work of the Spirit? We're going to see that shortly as we go. Hallelujah. So when you see the work of the Spirit, that means that is forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means, one, we are saved forever, right? Say, I'm saved forever. Some people are afraid. I don't know if I'm a Christian. How am I lose my salvation? No! Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is in me forever. I am saved forever. Hallelujah. Some people don't like it. Some legalists don't like it. They say, I can say you are saved forever. But you know what? I'm saved forever. I'm saved forever. Hallelujah. So don't you think of losing your salvation? Lose what? Lose what? No, glory to God. I'm saved forever. Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, quickly. So he calls us sons. We are God's sons in his family. We are sons. And our sons, remember we say sons carry out his father's legacy in the earth. Hallelujah. So I have some other things to say, but I'm going to leave it to next week because it's suitable for next week. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. As we begin to go into, so we carry out the father's work in the earth. And in carrying out the father's work in the earth, scripture teaches us how we relate to one another. Scripture teaches us how we relate to one another along every sphere of life. We are sons of God in the earth.
Yes,
but you know what? While we are yet here, today as I speak to you, while we are still here, not everybody in the world is saved. So we'll get to meet people who aren't saved. We're going to meet people who aren't born again. We're going to meet people who will tell you they don't want to get born again. And we will yet have to relate with them in this world. Hallelujah. So scripture teaches us how to relate with everybody. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So we'll begin to look at how we manage this relationship. But before then, next week, we are saved forever. This leading to touch along some certain lines. And that's why I want to leave out some other things for next week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have this little touch along some certain lines. And I believe it's concerning someone here who is actually going through some very down moments. And you know the funny thing? You know this truth. You know this truth. But you keep battling it. You are battling it. Even as I speak to you, you are battling it. But I'm led right now by the Holy Ghost. You know this truth. But I'm led right now by the Holy Ghost to say one or two things along a certain line. Hallelujah.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Based on what we are talking about, I want to drive it home. And you know, it's not just that person. Oh yeah, it's not just that person. Two to three other persons. Yeah. I could point at you. You have that thought come to you like about 2 to 3 hours this week. Yeah. And I'm being led that way. What does the Holy Ghost do? We have the Holy Ghost. Now let's settle it. Do we have the Holy Ghost forever? Do we have the Holy Ghost forever? Are you sure you have the Holy Ghost forever?
Yes, sir.
So what does the Holy Ghost do in you? What does the Holy Ghost do? What is the significance of that? Having the Holy Ghost in you. It's something I said at the beginning, but I'm driving it home that way right now. It just dropped. As I was trying to round up. Hallelujah. For those of you who are observant, you observe that I paused after a while, after the point I was teaching, because it dropped. Hallelujah. Let's see something. Hallelujah. So what the Holy Ghost does is forever. Right? Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians chapter 1. I'll start from verse, I'll start away from verse 1 into 6. Jump down to, I'll just cut it short in righteousness, you know. Glory to God. Ephesians 1, from verses 2. It says, grace to you and peace from our Lord, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, in heavenlies in Christ. Hallelujah. What is the spiritual blessings in heavenlies in Christ? He's about to say it to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's about to say it. So what Paul did was that Paul listed out this blessing and then capped it in verses 13 that you see. Hallelujah. He listed it out and then he capped it. So everything he listed, you'll find it all will be what is ministered in verse 13. What you have in verse 13. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So what do we receive when Jesus resurrected? We receive the Spirit. So every other thing I'm going to tell you is what you receive because you have the Holy Ghost. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Say, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy. Did you see that? We should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestined us into adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, by which he had made us acceptable in the beloved. So because of the Holy Ghost, we are acceptable in the beloved. Hallelujah. We are in Christ. Verse 7. In him, we have redemption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through his blood. Now, what is his blood? Come on. Did we do this? What is his blood? His blood is his spirit. We saw that in the first session, right? 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 John 6. His blood is the Spirit. It says, we have redemption through his blood, his Spirit. It says what? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So that means, in the Spirit, what do you have? You have forgiveness of sins. So remember we said, when I said, he who believes, when we looked at it, it said that repentance and remission of sins, right? Repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name. Now remember, when I say when a man believes the gospel, he is saved, right? And that to be saved means his sins are forgiven. And what happens when a man receives the gospel? He receives the Spirit, and we called it that his sins are forgiven. That means the Holy Ghost is the forgiveness of sins. Or we receive forgiveness of sins because we have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Are you following? Hallelujah. So that means when you say, I have the Spirit of God, you are also saying in essence, I have received the forgiveness of sins. I'm emphasizing it again. I have received the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Are you following me? I've received the forgiveness of sins. Glory to God. Let's close. I have a whole lot to show us, but let's just look at this in Hebrews. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hebrews. Chapter 9. From verses 11, it says, but Christ came as the high priest of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. That is not talking about, so he's talking about our hearts, not with the blood of goat or calf, but with his own blood, his spirit, right, entered the most holy place, which is our heart, once having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified for the purifying of the flesh, much more the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your heart, cleanse your conscience from dead work to serve the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the works of Christ is found in our hearts.
It's by the Holy Ghost. I am. So when a man is saved, he receives the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In receiving the Holy Spirit, you know what he has done? You know what happened? That same moment you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive the forgiveness of sins. So if the Holy Ghost is in you forever, your sins are forgiven forever. All of it. You don't have a sin issue. So stop it. I am. You don't have a sin issue. Stop it. Kill the doubt. Say, I don't have a sin issue.
I don't have a sin issue.
I have received the forgiveness of sin.
The forgiveness of sin.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise
God. So you act that way. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
You are holy. You are sanctified. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
It doesn't matter how your head tells you. It doesn't matter what your head tries to tell you. No. You're not a sinner.
Yes, sir.
You are sanctified.
Yes, sir.
Say, I'm sanctified.
Sanctified.
I've received
the forgiveness of
sin. Say it as though you mean it. I have received
the forgiveness of
sin.
It's
my present now reality.
It's my present now reality.
It does not dry up. I've received it forever. I don't have a sin issue. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let's be on our feet.
Amen.
Oh, just thank him. Be on your feet and worship him.
I pray to my God.